However, I guess we also now have seen data with the other two agents, letrozole and exemestane, in terms of cardiovascular issues. Can you kind of comment on that?
Yeah, in the big FEMTA trial, which really gave us probably kind of the strongest signal, which is 4,000 patients in an arm, mostly Western European patients, though only about 15% Eastern European, so mostly, you know, similar population to the attack in many ways, but they ended up having numerically more deaths without cancer recurrence in their overall population, and the distribution was 26 so-called cardiac deaths versus 13 and 7 stroke deaths versus 1, with the excess seen for the letrozole versus tamoxifen. Now, having said that, the MA17, which is letrozole after tamoxifen, letrozole versus placebo, saw a 6% incidence of cardiac events the same in both arms. So we really end up having a mixed signal there. IES, or the International Exemestane Study, did report a significantly increased incidence of myocardial infarctions, 20 versus 8, but the difference wasn't significant when they looked at the patients who were on therapy at the time they had the myocardial infarctions. So I think there's a concern raised, but it's a very small number of events. We had reported with Brathwaite and Call a meta-analysis of all the published randomized trials looking at tamoxifen for myocardial infarction and reported a reduction in myocardial infarction when you do a meta-analysis of the reported randomized trials. Now, there certainly is going to be great selection in which kinds of trials would report that data.
And what was the reduction?
It was about 30% reduction in fewer myocardial infarctions for women on tamoxifen versus not, as a sole variable.
And if AIs or letrozole specifically is associated with cardiovascular disease or stroke, what do you think the mechanism is?
As we just reviewed that, the complicated story of estrogen plus progestin versus estrogen, it seems like you would have an open slate to write your projected mechanisms on it.
Do you think that finding is real and is clinically significant?
The question of aromatase inhibitors in coronary heart disease is now on the table now. I think there's, if anything, we have a signal that something may be occurring. That area will get focused attention. I should say the way the data has collected in these clinical trials is really quite casual compared to other kind of situations, like where you're looking at as a primary study endpoint. For instance, most of these trials, almost all the trials, collected it as a side effect. So somebody has to come forward and say, I had a myocardial infarction. Some of the protocols asked it just as a question. Compare that to the Women's Health Initiative, where every 6 months we ask about 33 trigger questions. If you get a constellation of questions that are suggestive of a myocardial infarction, including overnight hospitalization, then we have to get 20 defined data points, such as, you know, enzymes, EKGs, discharge summaries. And then that was reviewed in a blinded fashion by a trained adjudicator. And then that data was assembled and then reviewed again by a central adjudication process. So you can imagine that your accuracy is so much different with that kind of procedure than asking someone if they had a myocardial infarction.
I guess the finding of stroke, and there were 7 versus 1, do you consider that significant?
That 7 versus 1 is just such a small number. It's really hard, and it goes against everything else that we've seen with the aromatase inhibitors in really all the trials and advanced disease trials. So I think there's been less focus on that than the 26 versus 13, you know, kind of myocardial infarction issues, you know, cardiac deaths, because we said, is that really something or not? And that's really the only study where we've seen that. It doesn't have a ready explanation at this point.
And in fact, we see less strokes in the attack trial.
Right. And it looks like there is a strong trend to have fewer strokes in pretty much all the aromatase inhibitor trials.
Do you see a major difference in the three AIs in terms of basic mechanism of action and in terms of the clinical data we have right now on these sort of secondary issues?
It's interesting. It was maybe 5 or 10 years ago before the attack trial. That was a big question. We were looking for very small differences between this in terms of metabolism. And then that went away when the adjuvant trials came and it looked like things were the same again. But now I could see people looking for differences again. And there certainly are different molecules and have certain different components to them, but it's not clear to me at all that they're clinically relevant